The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
I will be speaking with Ms. Shanika Roberts O'Dell, Chief Executive Officer of the Barbados Medicinal Cannabis Licensing Authority. And we'll be speaking about the uses of medicinal cannabis and other questions that you may have in terms of that industry and comparison to Canada's own medicinal marijuana industry. And in what way Trinidad and Tobago may or may not be looking towards that industry for revenue. So let's step into the interview right now with Ms. Shanika Roberts O'Dell. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Good morning to you, Ms. Roberts O'Dell. How are you? And welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Hi, good morning. It's O'Dell and I am good. Thank you so much for having me.
So I know that with the introduction of the topic that you would have expected many people to make the comments as the last caller. He has touted himself as a caller who is a doctor. So he gave his medical description on his experiences with marijuana. But I wanted to find out from the perspective of the Barbados Medicinal Cannabis Licensing Authority, what developments and what stance do you all take in terms of the cannabis industry?
We take the position that currently there is significant evidence throughout the world, internationally and regionally, that goes back for a number of years that cannabis is indeed a medicinal plant and can provide a significant amount of assistance to persons suffering from a wide range of issues.
And some of those issues would be things like Parkinson's, there was another one, Alzheimer's. Can you talk more on those discoveries in terms of medicine?
I can. So I'm not a medical doctor, but what I will say is this. There is a system in all of our bodies that we all need to get very, very familiar with. It's called the endocrine system. And the reality is that cannabis can be used to treat a wide range of diseases for a wide range of reasons. So there are the traditional ones, which is helping with pain in terms of cancer, and Parkinson's, as you would have mentioned, but there are also sleep disorders that it has been very, very useful for. Beyond that, I want us to look at the story of Dr. Annabelle Morgan, and you will see that her son had a significant injury, which caused him to have 30% of his brain removed. And he was suffering, as you can imagine, that causes a variety of other issues in terms of your mobility, your cognitive function. And what Dr. Annabelle has done, she is a scientist, and she would have used cannabis and started treating her son with cannabis. She was using all the traditional methods, and while it was masking the pain, it wasn't truly, you know, resolving the pain issue, nor helping him with correcting the issues that having losing 30% of your brain would cause. And what she did was she created a formulation using cannabis, and that young gentleman, he runs, he walks, he talks, he goes to school, he functions well and normally. And that is due to cannabis, which appears after she started treating him to have attempted to rewire parts of his brain to allow him to function without that percentage of his brain that he had lost. And so when you have situations like that and many others, you can't deny the fact that there is a significant benefit to cannabis and to medicinal cannabis use. What we need to do as a people is work through how we are going to use this, under what conditions we are going to use this, and to really and truly look at what is the real harm in cannabis usage and what is the benefit in cannabis usage for medical purposes. And in Barbados, we have only approved it for medical purposes and for sacramental purposes.
So from the part of the Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you now.
So from the part of medicine, can you describe the difference between smoking cannabis? Because I believe that here in Trinidad, the concept that the smoking of this medicinal herb is the danger that is presented to health rather than the other uses which would involve extraction. Can you describe the type of research that Barbados would like to get into to provide different avenues for those who are interested in the medicinal application of cannabis?
Most definitely. So we ourselves have grappled with the conversation as it relates to whether you should be allowed smoking of medicinal cannabis or not. And as you can imagine, there are many different areas that that conversation can lead you down. There's the conversation of, well, you allow the smoking of cigarettes. So is there not a certain amount of hypocrisy when it comes to saying, well, I'm going to allow the smoking of cigarettes, but I'm not going to allow the smoking of medicinal cannabis? That has been a conversation topic. There has also been the conversation topic of the research. Now, if you look at the research internationally, it will tell you that the smoking of medicinal cannabis is, in fact, the quickest way for you to get the medicine into your bloodstream. If you use other forms, depending on what form you're using, it takes longer, which then causes a delay in terms of the relief. Now, in Barbados, we don't currently allow the smoking of medicinal cannabis, but that is one of the areas we want to turn to, because we're not turning to it for anecdotal situations. We're turning to it based on the scientific evidence that can be found internationally. And then there is the conversation of if we are saying that cannabis must be allowed in order for people to have the best benefit, in order for people to have an alternative to what they already have available to them in terms of treatment, then we have to also open ourselves to the conversation of, do we not allow persons to have a decision in how they're going to use it? And so there are various aspects of this conversation. So I totally understand what you're going through there in Trinidad. We have that same conversation here in Barbados. And currently, we don't allow for the smoking of medicinal cannabis. And I do say it currently, because the cannabis industry, whether you're coming at it from a business end, whether you're coming at it from a scientific and medicinal end, whether you're coming from it from a spiritual and cultural end, it is an industry that requires consistent conversation, consistent thought process, and the ability to make changes based on scientific evidence, but also to make changes based on where the society is as a whole and where the country is as a whole. And so those are some of the issues that we throughout the Caribbean are going to have to grapple with more and more as we come to the understanding that this is a plant that has been successfully used for a great number of years. And so we just need to figure out in each of our cases as a society what is best for us.
And from that discussion, I've realized that many countries are currently undertaking this type of research. And what legislation has Barbados discussed or explored to begin this type of research, and what would be needed to be enforced or implemented to have this sort of research happen in other Caribbean countries?
Yes. So what we did is when we opened up our licensing regime, one of the licenses that is allowed under there is called research and development. And one of the first relationships we built was with the University of the West in Cape Town campus. And we have given them under an MOU, a research and development license, for them to go about researching the use of medicinal cannabis in terms of many areas. Now, when I talk about that, is we have an MOU that, yes, it covers the research and development that formalizes from a scientific aspect. There are discussions as it relates to how can medicinal cannabis help in terms of diabetes. Barbados has very, very high population of diabetic patients. How does that help in terms of issues as it relates to all of the diseases in which we have that we are trying to find alternative methods of treating, but also there are societal questions that we need to ask about. What is the real number of our society that uses cannabis currently? What are they using cannabis for, right? How has it impacted them? So that we can really understand, because there are those who, when we passed our legislation, you know, the postman who dropped off the mail once more, one morning said to me, oh, you're going to have still going to have people walking about like zombies. It was the most surprising thing where I was like, no. And then when you really start to have conversations, and if we're honest with ourselves, we would have to then really think about how much of our doctors, our lawyers, our judges, our persons that we hold in high esteem and who operate critical functions in our society use medicinal cannabis and use it well, use it judiciously, do not abuse and overuse something for various reasons. A lot of them are medical, right? A lot of them have difficulty sleeping. A lot of them are in high pressure, high stress situations, and they use it for various reasons. And so what we have to recognize is we have to determine what is abuse, what is overuse, why is there abuse and overuse, and how do we weed that out? How do we provide scientific evidence as well as assistance and structure to something that has already been happening? But we do recognize that there are issues surrounding it. Mm-hmm. And there's no way you can ever get around the issues. So anybody who tells you there's going to be flowers and roses is really selling you a dream,
yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
In terms of, well, you just touched on some of the, on the next topic that I would like to bring to you. In terms of social issues, we understand that, as you said, there are reasons why people do use marijuana the way that they do. So for us to find a complete and broad report or research on it, we have to look at the social issues as well. That part of social responsibility, is it a huge part of your research in understanding the use of medical cannabis?
I truly believe that it will be, and it's one of the areas in which I want to start. So one of the things we did in terms of doing our MOU was recognizing that research takes financing. And so one of the things that we will be launching shortly is the research and development grants for medicinal cannabis. And that is to allow those who do the research for us to provide some level of funding for them to do research, the social end of things, as well as the scientific end of things. And on the social end, yes, we need to look at, as you said, what are the social circumstances surrounding cannabis use, right? And we need to look at, are there issues that force stressors that send people down a particular road of abuse and overuse? And what are those stressors? And then how do we address those issues? There are stigmas associated with medicinal cannabis use. There are religious concerns and reasons. And one of the things I want to be very careful about is that we can't dismiss people's concerns. And in Barbados, we have tried very hard to thread the needle between recognizing the benefit, but also addressing people's concerns around that. And some may say we have been far too conservative as a society with how we've gone about the medicinal cannabis industry. But as I said to some people, since it is easier to slowly open a door than to open it wide and then try to slam it shut.
And in terms of the research where revenue-generating possibilities are for medicinal marijuana, have you all explored that avenue as well?
Well, we are still very early on in the research formalization process. As you know, we would have only just handed over the certificates for the research and development end of the project to university. I'm sorry if you're having difficulty hearing. Difficulty hearing you. What did you say?
No, well, in terms of the research on revenue generating possibilities from medicinal marijuana, Canada being one of the forerunner in this industry, they are garnering something like $5 billion in revenue for medicinal marijuana. Has any research gone in on the part of Barbados to see the possibilities of this research?
Not yet in terms of formalized research, but yes, indeed, there are very many various areas and ways in which you can see revenue potential in terms of, you know, driven by research, as well as societal relations. So one of the things that we've been looking at, and right now we're using research out of other areas, but yes, indeed, it's one of the areas we need to research here in Barbados, is that cannabis edibles on the international market and those nutraceutical forms are huge. There's a significant amount of the Canadian market that is based there, because some persons don't want to smoke. Some persons prefer to use the ingestion formulation as it relates to edibles and drinks and such of the kind. And so looking at the research overseas, you can see that that is where a lot of the aim is driven in terms of revenue generation. We've not done specific research ourselves, but it is one of the areas we need to start looking into. As it relates to Barbados, right now we are looking at how do we broaden our legislation to be able to take full use while still keeping the medicinal requirements that we have set in place. We're looking at whether those requirements are too stringent, and how do we now, as I said, open the door a little bit wider while still keeping focus on the medicinal end of things. And there are a lot of other Caribbean countries who are further ahead of us on that road. Jamaica, for example, St. Vincent, Antigua. I'm currently in Antigua at their cannabis festival, Wydadley Cannabis Festival. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave you shortly, as I believe they're starting their formal ceremonies.
I know. I heard that you don't have much time. Just quickly, I know that we talked about other areas. Has food been a huge part of your research as well? Because there has been a drive to incorporating the THC factor into foods, and there's this whole drive for exotic five-star meals, etc. Would that be part of the research as well? Because being a foodie, you know, that just might, you know, entice a few people.
I fully understand being a foodie myself. It is one of the things we're trying to look at, how you would do that. Currently, we don't allow for cannabis edibles in Barbados's regime. Mm-hmm. But that is still, again, a conversation that we're having, because it is recognized that, you know, people sometimes prefer to use their medicine through food, mm-hmm. and that there are circumstances in which that is the best option for patients. And from a financial end of things, I have seen internationally where that is a huge market, people being able to pay private chefs. Actually, we have one of the chefs in Barbados who took it upon himself to go overseas and be trained in terms of how does he create meals using cannabis internationally. He hasn't been able to put those skills to use yet.
As
I said, edibles aren't allowed in Barbados, but he is preparing himself for that. And actually, there's a feature on him. Just let me put a quick plug. So there's a feature on him in our cannabis magazine, which is launching for our second edition. So what we have done is we put together a cannabis magazine, and we did it last year, and we're doing a second edition this year. You can find it on our website. That's www.bmcla.bb. And that magazine will feature an article from him, as well as various other articles and conversations about medicinal cannabis, about where the industry is going, and about where we are in that format. Our first featured tips and concerns around cultivation. This one speaks about manufacturing and about a little bit further into the industry. I believe for me, what I'm finding out slowly but surely, I like to say I'm new to this, but true to this, that cannabis is an ever-evolving situation. And so to be ahead of that, you've got to really try to lean into where we are now, stay true to your legal format, but also look at where things are going in order to make a good decision about what is necessary for your country and where your society is flowing. Barbados is by no means leap and bounds ahead. We absolutely are not. We are working our way towards where the goals are while trying to stay true to how Barbados operates and where we see the future going. So as you know, that there are some of my stakeholders that will tell me the train has already left, mm-hmm. and you're just waiting and you're holding us up. But I think on the most part, they understand we are trying to chart a path that works. And sometimes that presents difficulties and issues along the way. But I like to say we are not all knowing nor all seeing, which means we have to understand that there will always be changes. And we have to be willing to listen and to move on that point. And so I'm very happy that our minister, Minister Indar Weir, the Minister of Agriculture, is one that is usually willing to listen and to be directed and to make his decision based on the science, but also based on what is best for Barbados, along with my Prime Minister, the Honorable Mia Amor-Motley, who we, I think, all know by now, is always willing to, a woman willing to chart a path that is necessary. So I am very, very happy that that is where we sit and that is where we are trying to move. I'm so, so sorry, but
I know I am now about to close off and say thank you so much for joining us and giving that information. And we may have to, you know, get you on the line again so we can discuss it further when you have a little more time. Thank you so much for joining us here on Freedom 106.5 FM.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.